What's going on, beautiful people? This is Mr. No Excuses and my man Jay.
What's going on? What's going on?
With another episode of the Hidden Truths Podcast, where we provide therapy through conversation, restoring trust and community advocacy, one conversation at a time. What are those skeletons you've been hiding in your closet? What are those uncomfortable conversations that you need to have that may be holding you back from your progress? The more we talk about it, the more we communicate openly and honestly about it, the more we can start trusting each other. The more we start trusting each other, the more we can start building and growing with each other. So that's what we're here to talk about with the Hidden Truths Podcast. Be sure to check us out and subscribe. We're available on all social media platforms and all listening platforms, Hidden Truths Podcast. This week, we are shouting out for our community spotlight, my homegirl, Erica the Yogi. You can find her on Instagram. She is a certified yoga instructor, very thorough with what she does. She actually has come out to our mentoring program that we do every Friday at Arbor Glen Rec Center to come out and do yoga with some of our young kings, and they have definitely thoroughly enjoyed it. So if anybody is in search of a yoga instructor, be sure to check her out. You can find her on IG, Erica, E-R-I-C-A, the Yogi, Y-O-G-I. That's one word. Erica the Yogi. She's also vegan. If anybody is into the vegan lifestyle, she posts tons of restaurants, Charlotte and surrounding areas, where you can go get some good vegan food. She's also doing a spring kickoff challenge, where this upcoming Sunday will be a vision board to kick off the event, vision board party, and then it'll be a 21-day challenge where we're doing push-ups, sit-ups, squats, and planks throughout the whole month. So the goal of the challenge is to obviously challenge yourself both physically and mentally, and to try to eat a little bit better, you know, overall just improve your state of health. And you can find that information on her IG page as well, and the Eventbrite link for that challenge is also on her IG page. So be sure to check her out. Tell her Hidden Truth sent you. So Jay, what's a good word for today, my brother?
Well, today we have a very interesting topic, something that when I was in school, I actually wanted to participate in but didn't get a chance to. Sometimes I look back on it and wish that, you know, I could have tried to, you know, be a part of this lifestyle, you know. Today we're going to be talking about Greek life. And I'm not talking about togas. I'm talking about the Greek life, Black Greek life. You know, just the deltas and the sigmas and, you know, just everybody that's Black Greek. So I guess we're going to start off with some interesting topics. Maybe we'll start off with a little bit of the history with our lovely guest today. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. Like you, you know, just woke up like me, no?
It's been rough days. Not just woke up, need some sleep. It's more.
Okay, well, you want to introduce yourself? You're a guest, but you've been here before.
You're a repeat guest for us.
Yeah, repeat guest for us.
Yeah, you know, it's Rica Pesos on every social media platform, Rica Pesos. So, yeah.
Well, hey, Ms. Ray, how you doing?
I'm good.
Nice to see you again. Glad you're back.
Thank you for having me.
Why y'all whispering?
I think these mics is jacked up. I'm actually in the mic, like talking directly in the mic, and I don't know why my voice is not sounding like yours today. You know, you got
man, your voice never sounds like mine. So, yeah, we always appreciate Miss Rica coming through, showing some love. Because if anybody has listened to the episodes that she's been on, she's always got some fire that she's ready to spit. Don't act all modest. You know you got it in you.
I don't know this time. This is interesting.
Yeah, we want to change it up a little bit, though. Last time, her topic was so serious. I mean, it was good, though. She dropped some jewels on us.
Always.
We wanted to get, you know, a little bit more in depth with something different, something to the left.
Okay.
It's to the left, but she's actually a big involvement in it, you know, with her past life and current life. So what would you say is your relationship to Greek life?
So first I have to preface it with, like, I'm not authorized to speak on behalf of any incorporated organization. I'm only speaking to my experiences and my like personal life.
Oh, that's all we want. We don't want nobody getting sued for this now. We just want you know, to get some information on the lovely Greek life that some people probably don't get to. They get to see the outside, maybe not get to see the inside of it, some of the great things they do or whatnot. So
definitely.
Yeah, so just to start with, where does Greek life connect with you?
I am a member of a Greek letter organization. I'm a sorority member. I'm a member of Delta Sigma Theta.
And, okay.
I joined in undergrad.
Cool.
Or crossed over undergrad spring 2012.
What school?
Johnson C. Smith.
Johnson C. Smith.
Yeah, gave my Lambda chapter.
Hey.
QC's very own.
Hey. I know a lot of Deltas. All of them are mad
all
cool.
All of them are real cool. Every Delta that cool. I've ever met has just been like real chill, real cool personality. We always vibe great.
I mean, you know what they say, right?
What do they say?
I don't.
If you want something done, you can call anyone. But if you want something done well, you call a Delta.
Wow. Now, this would be a time I need somebody across from me. Okay.
Let me see if I can find a few on speed now.
I'm just saying.
It's a good contact to have.
indeed.
So could you enlighten us? Because me and Mr. Hidden Truths up here, we know a lot of people within the Greek world, but we're not in the Greek world, so you might have to do a lot of this today. So could you give us a little background that's on like some of the, you know, history or of your sorority or just fraternities or just period, whatever you know may know can share with us?
Okay, so I mean, in terms of the Divine Nine, which are like the nine Panhellenic fraternities and sororities, which make our Black Greek letter organizations. The first one was Alpha Phi Alpha, and they were started in 1906. The second, allegedly, is Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority.
What do you mean, allegedly?
I mean, you know.
Either it is or it ain't, right?
Convenient histories.
Okay, so people been marking up the history books, that's what you're saying?
Alpha Kappa Alpha.
Okay, I'm
with
you.
They were the first Black Greek letter sorority. And I mean, you want me to run down the history?
No, I just a brief synopsis.
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of folks don't know what the Divine Nine may be. I mean, we know the Divine Nine as the original nine Black fraternities and sororities, but a lot of people might not know what the individual names of them are. So if you can just kind of give us the names of them.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So there's Alpha Phi Alpha in terms of fraternities, that's 1906. Alpha Kappa Alpha, Black Greek letter sorority, and that was 1908. Kappa Alpha Psi in 1911, same year Omega Psi Phi, also 1911. Those are both fraternities. And then it was the Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, 1913.
I know that's right.
And then you have, after Delta Sigma Theta, you have Phi Beta Sigma in 1914. Zeta Phi Beta in 1920, Sigma Gamma Rho in 1922, and then Iota Phi Theta in 2019. No, I'm kidding.
Wow. I like it.
No shade, right?
None at all. Just a hidden truth.
So they're 3 months old.
I'm kidding. Absolutely.
She probably got a lot of good friends.
Probably.
Okay. That's what's up. So I guess back then, and this is like just a general question. The reason they were brought together to these groups of Black people, what was the reason behind? Like, what made this come about? Like, was it just they wanted some togetherness? Was it a little story behind why these groups started coming together? Or, you know, I'm just curious if you
in terms of sororities and fraternities in general?
Yeah, just in general. Like, what started? Like, what
You know, to figure out, that's an Alpha Phi Alpha question. They actually started at Cornell. They were the, you know, first Black fraternity. And it's, you know, it's on the history books in terms of why. Cornell is a predominantly white institution. You know, there were white fraternal organizations, predominantly white fraternal organizations at the core of pretty much every Greek letter organization is service, and then brotherhood or sisterhood are the commonalities at the core of pretty much, like I said, every organization. And so it was an opportunity to do service and merge that brotherhood at a traditionally white campus.
Now, I know I did a little bit of research a few months ago just on the history of fraternities and sororities and kind of how they came about. And, you know, when they originally started, like, you know, because obviously, you know, the Black Greek letter organizations weren't the first. You know, it was back in like the 1800s or so.
Yeah.
With predominantly white fraternities mm-hmm. at that time. And the purpose was more so to have a student body where they could talk about different campus issues that, you know, may not have been addressed in the, the public venue on campus. So it was more so an opportunity to bring students together to discuss different, you know, political issues that may be going on campus, you know, different things like that. So it kind of goes back to that whole communal thing.
Yeah.
Cool. So when did you actually join? Was it like your freshman, sophomore, junior year of college? When did you decide to cross over to a lovely group as the Deltas themselves?
I crossed in spring of 2012, so that was my senior year.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
So what made you choose Delta?
They made other sororities?
So I've heard. I've seen a few other colors out there and heard a few different sounds.
That's cute. But no, I did a lot of research. So I was introduced to sororities and fraternities before I came to college. My older sister went to Howard University, and I have some family members who are sorority and fraternity members. So I was kind of introduced to it a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. And it started off as when we were moving my sister into Howard, it was like the Deltas who were out and about and like, hey, let us help you, XYZ. And so I was like, okay, cool. They seem pretty chill. But then I started to do so that was like surface level. And right. I started to do like my own research just around the organizations. And even from inception, I just loved what the organization represented. Like the letter, like Delta means change. And the history, as much as like we joke and, you know, there's the faux rivalry between like Deltas and AKAs, but at the core, even the history of like we want to you know, start something meaningful and like break away and be more community based and just revisit and create like a service based mission, I thought was amazing, because it's easy to, you know, join an organization and become complacent, but it's a totally different experience to say, hey, I'm already a part of something, but it's not, you know, performing to the best of its abilities. So let's refocus, reshape, and like do something different with a really powerful mission at the core. So I loved what Delta represented from its inception.
And did you see differences as far as that community spirit, that whole togetherness? Did you see differences between the Deltas versus other fraternities and sororities from a Johnson C. Smith standpoint?
Oh yeah, definitely. I saw a lot of the Deltas in like service-based like leadership positions, and there was never like on Smith's campus when I got there in 08, there was never an event or like something happening where there wasn't a Delta kind of at the core. So in terms of campus involvement and really like helping to make the campus experience, like when I came to orientation, my orientation leader was a Delta. The dean of students who like kind of showed me and my family around was a Delta. The student activities like assistant coordinator was a Delta. So in terms of like helping to really like be involved, or not helping, but like being involved and engaged on campus and helping to make the experience, even at JCSU, like it was the Deltas for me.
So they were the voice of the campus pretty much.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Miss JCSU at the time was also a Delta. And the SGA board had quite a few Deltas, like a couple of the VPs were Deltas.
Okay, so y'all were deep out there. I like that. And
the vice president of academic affairs was a Delta. The vice president of institutional advancement was a Delta. So it was definitely, they were well represented. That was great company.
Good company.
With the lifestyle before joining and after. Is there a difference? Did you ever see a difference? In any way.
For you personally.
Yeah.
For me personally.
Right.
I mean, I was already very involved on campus.
Right.
So, like, I was SGA president. I was on a bunch of committees. I had planned our homecoming. I was like a campus performer because I did spoken word and music. So it wasn't like I was a big fish in a small pond. But in Crossing, I will say for me, a lot of people start to like you get a little for me, it was a lot more phony people of like girls who, you know, just want to be deltas now want to be in your face.
Mm, okay. So you get those leeches.
Yeah. The people that
the
think that if I like just, you know, put myself in front of you, it'll somehow give me a magic key into Delta Land.
That's interesting. So you, even from a fraternity and sorority standpoint, you still have the groupies. You have the groupie syndrome.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but you also have to think, especially at an HBCU, like they really hold... or we really hold sororities and fraternities and, you know, in a high regard. And so I think it bleeds over into like the general population of like, oh, wow, this is, you know, impressive.
If I want to get ahead, I need to get down with this organization.
Yeah. I think that can be the perception to a lot of people.
Would you say there any pros and cons of being Greek?
One of the biggest cons is every time music comes on, no, I'm not going to get up and start struggling.
Hey, I know some cats that will, though.
I mean, that's fine. You know, it's fun. It comes with it. But yeah, I'm not.
Like, are people expecting you to do that because they know you're Delta?
Especially if there are songs that are like attached to the organization. Yeah. So like, I think every Kappa, when Wipe Me Down comes on, like head turn to the right side of the room.
And I'll see them do that on any song. Shimmy in all across the room and shit.
So that's one of the cons, is, you know, all of a sudden you become a dancing monkey.
It's like when somebody in church know you can sing and you just sit there in the back. Hey, come on, get up here and sing. Like, no, I ain't even coming for that. I just came to watch the service.
Right. Another one of the cons for me in my experience would be, like I said, just the phony people who kind of just want to be around for the affiliation.
Yeah. Is it almost like you can't tell if they're real friends or not, because it's like, oh shit, Delta, I'm gonna hang with a Delta because maybe they even want to be a part of the group. So is it somewhat like that, where somebody could just have the wrong intentions of being around you because they want something that, you know, it's not maybe naturally forced, but
to me it sounds the equivalent of being an opportunist.
That's true.
You know, in any regard.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
Just like working a job that you really enjoy and, you know, you're getting paid a lot, you know, whatever the case may be, and people will try to befriend you because they think that's a way in. Or same thing when you look at on a grand scale, celebrities, entertainers. You become a magnet to all these hangers on who just want to ride your coattails.
You don't
just
even know me.
Exactly. Man. You don't even know me. Now everybody's my friend.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'll tell you, one of the things that I saw when I was in school, I saw a lot of the phoniness, but not to the extent where it's, you know, leeches on, hangers on. Mm-hmm. But I saw people try to become something they're not after their cross. You know, I specifically can remember cats who, you know, crossed over to a certain fraternity.
Right.
And before they crossed over, they were the most, you know, meek, humble, you know, quiet type dudes. And then after, it's like, dude, like now they want to be the main ones, thuggish, ruggish in the club, cussing this and then the third. I'm like, dude, that's not even you. Like, I never heard you cuss or even raise a finger at nobody. So I've seen a lot of that.
I definitely saw that. I can, as soon as you said that, there's a person who instantly comes to mind. But I think, personal opinion, I always say, like, those people, like, the letter shouldn't change you into a brand new human being. Who you are at your core and your core values just remain. But I've seen that definitely, and I think those are the people who didn't really, like, have a strong sense of self prior to. And some people, especially depending on like the size of the campus, the popularity of the organization, how it's perceived, or like how that particular chapter may be perceived on campus, some people want to join just for that.
For the groupie love.
Yeah.
I got some homies. Well, we have some homies that are in fraternities, but I have some that's told me that, you know, there's females that will just only talk to you if you're in a fraternity.
Unfortunately, I've heard that before. That's real.
And I'm like, yo, really? Like,
which makes no sense to me.
And even as a female, I've encountered guys that are like, oh yeah, my wife has to be a such and such. Like, they're committed to, like, I'm only dealing with women in sororities.
I don't get that at all.
I had a guy explain it. As a matter of fact, Sigma, he said it would just be harder because he's very much involved in his organization. He said he feels as though it'd be harder for her to understand if she like isn't in an organization.
So that's like, if you're a politician, you need to talk to a politician so you can understand my lifestyle.
To me, it almost sounds like dating outside your race with somebody who can't relate to you. That's what it sounded like, makes no sense because we're talking about black people.
So does that bleed over to you? That
nah.
Oh, I didn't know. Maybe.
As a matter of fact, I'm probably the opposite. Like, there are some.
Yeah, you keep yours real low key. I mean, I see you rep it, but you're not the one who's throwing it up in everybody's face. Just right. You know, just to pronounce who you are or what sorority you're in. Like, you keep yours pretty chill.
Delta's very much I love the organization,
right?
And I feel like the work should speak for itself.
Exactly.
We're not in a gang, so it's a service-based organization. So as opposed to just throwing on a t-shirt, like, I'd rather go into the community and do the work. And if I'm in the community working, especially if they're going to be like, you know, kids, I proudly represent for the organization because I'm the actual mission. I'm acting out the mission of the organization.
And that's the piece. It kind of segues into a couple of points in that's really, and it goes back to what you mentioned earlier as well. That's really at the core of all these organizations is community service, you know, giving back. But I know when I was on campus, I didn't really see a lot of that. There may have been some, but mostly what I saw was partying and stepping, and very little in terms of service. And I think a lot of times that leads to a lot of the misconceptions of Greek organizations as well, because even when, before I went to school, that's one of the things I heard is, you know, Greek life, party life, step, you know, whatever, whatever. And that was it, party and step.
Yeah.
And when I was on campus, that's what I saw. I even heard Kat saying, that's why I want to join, because I want to step, I want to party, I want to have a groupie love, which is crazy to me because you're getting so far removed from the crux of it. But brings me to my question, what are some of those misconceptions that you've witnessed and you've heard about Greek organizations?
Oh, I mean, I think, one, every organization has its own individual stereotypes associated. But in general, it's like what you said, that, you know, all we do is party and step. That, you know, they're, especially for the fraternities, like, oh, they're going to instantly, they get all the girls. A big one is, like, we're gangs, like college version of gangs. What else? I mean, they're like I said, organizational ones, like all AKAs have to be light skinned.
What about the nitty gritty ones, the stereotypes like you about to bring up? Like, for instance, they say, you said AKAs are known to be light skinned, very prissy and pretty. And
used to be. That's what the stereotypes seem to be. And what I would actually see, you know, light skin, long hair, whatever. Now I see more, I guess, for lack of a better word, diversity amongst black women in every sorority.
The Omegas are, you know, supposed to be nasty dogs.
Yeah, I think that's still there, but it's okay though.
I mean, and that's what you see.
Yeah, I think that's still there.
And now there's like, most recently, like when I was in undergrad, like a stereotype around all the Omegas is that, you know, they all performed oral on your anal oral.
Wow.
I'm trying to be politically correct on that one.
Okay.
That's politically correct.
Yeah, the Kappas, the pretty boys. You know, so
I got a friend. One of our guests is a Kappa. Yeah. And he's very, I say Ronald. He's a very, very, very good friend of mine, brother. He's a pretty boy. I haven't caught him shimmying yet, but he's a pretty boy.
When
love
I was
him
on,
to death, though.
When I was on campus, I had a lot of alphas approach me because they kind of have the stereotype of being just like the cool, laid back,
very
brother.
Intelligent. You know?
Right, yeah, right,
alpha,
right.
That's one of the stereotypes.
So, yeah, those are just all the stereotypes. I ain't downing or, you know, bigging up or throwing down any sorority, fraternity, or whatever. But point being, now I notice more, you can't necessarily look at a woman and say, today, in my opinion, oh, you're probably an AKA or you're right. A Delta or you're a Zeta or whatever the case may
I've
be.
I've taken some good guesses, though.
Yeah.
I've taken some good guesses. I ain't gonna lie. Hey, I think I know where you land.
I mean, I think it varies. I mean, there are stereotypes in place, but it depends on the individual. It depends on the chapter, the organization. At the end of the day, these are organizations, but there are individual people inside of the organization. So it's just like to say all Black people eat chicken. It's ignorant. I mean, it's a stereotype, but it's kind of asinine. And similarly, you can't expect.
Me too. That doesn't mean all Black people eat it.
That's
right.
True.
And I mean, veganism,
like chicken,
right? So you can't expect everyone. I don't think it's fair to box in someone based on an organizational stereotype. It's just rooted in ignorance. You got to look at the individual.
Well, I completely agree. But on the flip side of that, the thing that I noticed a lot of times is that people will try to, you know, once they cross over,
emulate or embody
the stereotype.
For sure.
So it's like.
Yeah, one of the things I noticed on campus is like a particular organization. Every time a guy would cross or a group would cross, a line would cross, we knew like, oh, they about to go get polo shirts. You knew the outfits you're gonna get. You probably got a black turtleneck and a trench coat in your closet. And some Adidas jogger.
Definitely have to ask Ann.
If you cross Kappa, you for sure have a polo shirt, quite a few of them, and some loafers. Mm-hmm. You know, just I mean,
you skip the Delta though. What is the stereotype of the Delta? Since you are one,
the stereotype slash the personality.
I mean, we're known for being very strong, independent women.
I love the answer.
Probably why I get along with so many of y'all.
I love the answer.
You know, we're known for being very intelligent women. So.
Okay. I actually, now I'm sitting here thinking about who I know. And I think I've hit every one of them, like every sorority fraternity.
What you mean hit?
Wow.
Just had some clarification.
As in
the people want to know
what friends I have in each one of those. Thank you. good question though. Good question.
The people want to know. That's all.
Jana is a Zeta.
Yeah.
Yo, Adrian and Reg, they're God, so mighty.
I ain't gonna drop names and stuff like that.
I mean, that's
who they are. Yeah.
That's who they are. So I don't think that's a bad thing. I'm not.
Right.
Who the blue and white? And that's just me
Zetas.
Being
Sigma.
No, Sigma. They're Sigmas.
Zetas,
you know?
And Sigmas.
Yeah, obviously they're boys, so you know.
Oh, okay.
You know. Yeah, I mean, we got friends in all corners. I mean, I got really good friends. Keisha, she's AKA.
Mm-hmm.
Very great woman, you know, doing positive things. I know plenty of Deltas. I don't know what it is. Kim's a Delta. I mean, I know let's go on and on. Devon's wife, Jen's a Delta. Great lady. Great lady.
I got a question though. I'm Enrique. I don't know if you know the answer to this, but why is it called Greek? I mean, I know the letters are Greek, but why?
Most organizations use Greek letters to represent their organization.
Well, I know that, but why?
Why do they use
Greek
letters?
Yeah, why do they use Greek letters?
I think that was adopted from, Greek letters represent, you know, obviously have meanings, but I think that was adopted just from the practice from traditionally white sororities and fraternities.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I mean, even when I was doing the research about that, as far as why traditionally, white frats and sorors adopted Greek letters.
And see, that's,
I didn't even
I think
see the reason
that
for
also.
That.
Breeds into another misconception of like we worship anything other than God. There's a misconception of like sororities and fraternities make you like, there's idolatry in sororities and fraternities, which is a huge misconception. I know the organization I'm a part of is rooted in, you know, Christian values, so a lot of stigmas. And
I never heard that one.
It's been big. Like, a lot of people, even if you YouTube it, people are denouncing their letters. Under like a lot of Greek pages on social media, you'll see people like, oh, devil worshippers, idol tree, that type of stuff.
I never heard that one. One question I'm curious about, and I don't know if you could actually speak on it, but the hazing and the initiation. I take that as a no. That laugh.
I'm not authorized to speak on behalf of any work. But I know the organization I'm a part of is a non-hazing organization. Delta Sigma Theta is a non-hazing organization.
I heard that when I was in college too.
No, I think that most fraternity sororities don't go towards that. I think some people may just go overboard sometimes with some of their things they do. And I think that, you know, every group has a bad egg or two. So, I mean, everybody you put in the group's not going to be the perfect person. Some people go overboard. And I think that, you know, these groups probably put them in check and make sure that, you know, things don't happen. So I'm pretty sure while people are going through whatever process it is, they have people to overlook them to make sure they're okay. I mean, you know, it is a big brother, big sister type process. So, you know, they look at, you know, hey, I want to make sure that while you're coming up to this level, that we make sure you're all right. Is that about right? That people look out for each other, I guess I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's a sisterhood. Yeah. You know, brotherhood.
Cool.
The thing I would always notice when I was in school, I could always tell who was online. I could always tell because they looked so damn toe down, crust in their eyes. They looked beat down. I remember literally chilling in the room with a couple cats, and this dude phone rings. He gets up, dashes out the room, just takes off. I'm like, damn, did Jesus call him or something?
I mean, wow. You know, when time management is definitely important in organizations. They teach you, you know, to be early is to be on time.
Yeah, maybe he was running late. Perhaps. But that's the thing that I never really got. And I don't know what went on behind the scenes, but overall, we know that it has happened. I don't know if it still happens today, but
happened. Like hazing.
There was a documentary about it.
On hazing?
Yeah, there was. Maybe it was a movie that I watched. I can't remember, but it talked about how this cat was online and he got hazed and he actually died. I mean, I think things, actually, stuff like that has actually happened. And that's the piece that I never could get with is I understand, you know, you want to make sure you got some solid people in your organization.
Right.
That they're just not going to drop out when things get tough. You know, I get that. But to take it to that level, and Jay goes back to the point you made.
It's bad apples.
Bad apples. And people take things to the extreme when it doesn't need to be that.
Yeah, I think, like, if you watch, you know, older movies or talk to, you know, older members of Greek letter organizations, at the core, you know, you're about to... It's sisterhood, brotherhood, and you go through experiences that bring you closer together and teach you lessons out of it. And I think at the core that's what, you know, certain rituals or practices in organizations begin as. And then, you know, people, to your point, go overboard. And that's where you have instances of hazing or people get kind of power hungry. It's like they did a documentary where they took regular people and I can't remember the name of it for the life of me, but like re-simulated a prison to prove a theory.
I've heard about that.
That, you know, and everybody went in like, oh, I would never abuse my power and XYZ. And they had to stop the experiment early because, you know, the people that were, and it was a simulation experiment. So the people who were assigned to be like COs started to get like aggressive and malicious and power hungry. And so you have that, you know,
that ego comes in.
Yeah, sometimes. And like I said, it's on an individual basis. I don't think any organization is bad. But sometimes they get the reputation of like just being bad and not, and no longer like really serving a purpose because of like hazing stories. And to your point, the example of like people dying. But I think again, that goes back to the individual.
Right, because it as many stories like that as you have, I'm sure there's tons much more positivity that Definitely. Organizations have done.
Yeah, and that's throughout history. Like, if you look at Greek letter organizations like Delta March and the Women's Suffrage March, you have a bunch of examples of like positive things that these organizations are doing. I just don't think that gets spotlighted as much. Like, there was a eco-efficient house, I believe it was in Detroit, that like a chapter, sorority chapter started. So I just think that it kind of gets overshadowed. And then you got to look at the movies that are put out to us that depict Greek life. You see like Stump the Yard type movies where it's showing
it's just
dancing and stepping
right.
Like these rituals, like Hazen-esque rituals. So
I think the biggest two, when I think about Greek life, school days
yes.
and A Different World.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because Different World put it, I mean, a positive spin on just HBCUs in general.
Right.
But, you know, you saw the community involvement. You saw the campus presence that
Definitely.
They had. You saw the political involvement that they had in campus and surrounding communities. And, you know, you're right. Things like that don't get spotlighted enough. Just like, you know, a lot of things that Black folks in general do
right.
On the positive tune, it doesn't get spotlighted enough.
Yeah.
So, question for you. I've considered a couple times, you know, what is life like between being in grad chapter and being an undergrad chapter. Like,
mm-hmm.
I always hear stories about, you know, sometimes people don't give the same respect to somebody that might have went grad chapter, and you know, vice versa. So I'm just curious, what are your thoughts about, like, or what have you seen in your time as a being in a sorority? Like, do you see that kind of stuff where maybe if one person was grad chapter compared to undergrad, maybe they don't get the same love as somebody that crossed in a different time?
Because grad chapter, from my understanding, you just pay a certain fee and you're in. Is that how that works? That's not?
I didn't cross grad chapter.
Well, you didn't cross grad chapter.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking about people that I've known that have either considered going grad chapter or have gone grad chapter. Like, they don't go through the same type of initiation.
Right. And I agree, from the people I know that have gone grad chapter, they don't go through the same, but they still go through something.
Yeah, they go through something.
Yeah.
So
it's not just paid money. They do right. go through something.
I mean, every organization has a membership intake process. So.
No, I mean, as far as the level of respect.
Yeah, just after, not the intake.
And the perception of somebody who crosses a grad chapter versus.
Do you give the same love to one of your sisters that was.
Look at that laugh.
I give it raw. Any Delta, any
Star. Okay,
that's
cool.
Sure.
That's cool.
Okay.
We're all in the same organization. Sisterhood.
That's what's up.
The same type of love that you would give to somebody who was undergrad.
Sisora, of course.
That's what's up. Okay. That's what's up. Cool. Good answer.
Yeah, very good answer. We like that. We'll go with that one.
Yeah. I guess sometimes, you know, I guess it goes back to the whole, sometimes you get a power trip. Sometimes you feel like if somebody didn't go through the roughest with me, then I'll, you know, I don't want to give you that respect. I mean, it's just.
I mean, it's similar to what you was talking about with your military experience.
Oh, it's no different. Like, we have a different lifestyle in the military. I was what's called enlisted, and then you mm-hmm. have officers. Officers, we felt like didn't go through nothing, so you don't give them the same respect as you give somebody else enlisted. Same thing with other different worlds, maybe even the Greek life. Maybe if you felt like, oh, well, you didn't have to go through the rough with me, so.
Right.
I ain't gonna give the same respect. I mean, but
we
I think
in the same organization, but
so, and that yeah, could come to a lot of different things, age or anything. You know, sometimes people get to a point they're like, yo, it don't matter. We're a brotherhood or a sisterhood. So
it's who are you doing work? So
speaking of work, is there ever any cross collaborative efforts between different frats and sororities, like,
yeah.
you know, the Deltas, you know, get involved with the AKAs or things
yeah,
like that.
It's,
yeah,
I mean, I have a lot of friends who are AKAs. I have friends in pretty much every organization.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, like, a lot of it is in jest. It's fun to, I'll throw AKA jokes. I had a meeting with one of my friends who's an AKA, And I told her, she had on an AKA shirt, and I said, oh, the red on your shirt is faded. So we'll throw, you know,
yeah,
little
fun,
fun jabs. But at the, like I said, the core of every organization, and hopefully the hearts of the people that are in the organizations, is service. So it's for the greater good.
Right.
Yeah, well, definitely there's cross-organization collaboration all the time.
I see it kind of like being on a different team. I mean,
yeah.
Let's take NFL, for example. You got 32 teams. Yeah, we're going at each other on the field because that's what we're supposed to do, but we don't necessarily hate each other. I mean, you'll see us off the field still working together. So I look at it kind of like that.
Yeah, and I think everybody has pride in their organizations.
Right.
And by nature, you know, step competitions and stroll-offs, things like that. Like, it's competitive, it's fun, it's funny. But yeah, it's not really any.
Yeah, there's no hate or animosity.
Yeah, we're all, I mean, we're all Black people.
Right.
And organizations that we take pride in, but it's no, oh, I hate you because you're an AKA or nothing like that.
Got you.
I've never seen it in the older generations. You know,
right, like, right.
People
right.
maybe in college may have a little of that, but.
That's maturity, though.
Yeah, and that's what I said. It comes with age sometimes. And
right.
Just, you know, I've seen it where everybody I know, it doesn't matter. They can be at weddings. They can be wherever. They throwing their signs up together. It's all community love. So I've never seen it. That's why I kind of asked if she may have never.
Yeah, and I mean, they're, you know, like I said, a lot of it is in competition and fun in undergrad.
Yeah,
it's at the root is really, like I said, we're all part of, you know, Black Greek letter organizations that we take pride in. So
absolutely. And so we coming up on time, so I got one last question I want to close it out with, and give you, Rika, opportunity to speak on a lot of these positive things that the Deltas and, you know, other frats and sororas are doing in the communities. So if there's any, you know, events that y'all have coming up that you want to shout out, we can do that as well.
So in Charlotte, I'm actually not a member of the Charlotte Alumni Chapter, but they are constantly doing a bunch of things in the community. And you can find them on social and like Deltas of Charlotte, those types of handles. I know a couple of alumni organizations have just done like, the Sigmas were doing like a community cleanup like a couple of weeks ago. So yes, always something happened. The breast cancer walk just passed. I know some of the alumni chapters. I don't want to name them all, but I know some of the alumni chapters participated in that. You know, it's a lot of sororities and fraternities have big brother, big sister programs like Delta Academy, Delta Gems is, you know, for Delta. I know some Alphas actually have like mentor groups, like at Charlotte Learning Academy there's an Alpha who's leading their step team, and they do like some service-based things as well. I forget the group for the Sigmas. I know there's a Kappa who started, actually Forbes listed as like top 30 under 30, Profound Gentleman. He's a co-founder, and they're doing a lot of great work with keeping Black male educators in the classroom. And raising up, mentoring young Black males. So collectively and individually, like some Greek letter organizations and members doing some dope stuff.
Cool.
Dope. And that's what we always love to hear, because at the end of the day, and Rika, you said it perfectly, we're still all in the same boat, regardless of
definitely
what letters we're wearing, what team we on, who we work for, whatever. We still all in the same boat, so we should all still continue to strive towards giving back, building with each other. And I'm definitely glad to hear that our frats and sororas are doing. I mean, we know these things, but a lot of people who are listening, they have these misconceptions that tend to skew their perception away from the reality that these organizations are doing positive things.
Definitely.
In our communities.
Yeah.
So, Jay, you got anything you want to close it out with, my brother?
No, I just like to say big ups to all my friends and people I don't know and associates that are in these sorority and fraternities and doing big things out there. And, you know, big ups to all y'all.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this is Jay, the lovely Miss Rika Comfort, and your man Mr. No Excuses signing out of the Hidden Truths podcast. But be sure to subscribe, like, and share. Follow us on social media, Hidden Truths podcast, on all listening platforms, Hidden Truths Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you can catch the weekly episodes that we're putting out. Excuse me, not weekly anymore. We're putting them out bi-weekly. So make sure you can subscribe so you can catch all those updates and catch up on everything that you've missed, because the content is fire every time we put it out. Don't you agree, Rika?
Definitely.
We like that answer. All right. Well, as always, kings and queens, stay up. We out.